If you have been following this series of messages on individual witnessing, you will know that the bulk of the messages, of the first four messages, was on the subject of the place of the Bible in witnessing. This is one of the basic requisites if you are to be an effective, fruitful fisher of men. We have emphasized particularly the place of Scripture memory. By this time, if you have been following the homework that we have assigned, you will have committed to memory four basic passages of Scripture. I say basic because these were carefully chosen to meet the major attacks of Satan on the average young Christian. The first one, entitled Assurance of Salvation, 1 John 5:11 and 12. And then a verse on Assurance of Victory, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Then Assurance of Forgiveness, 1 John 1:9, and Assurance of Provision, John 16:24. Now today, we are going to take up another subject, which in one sense, I would say, constitutes the real basis for witnessing. In the last 5 years, it has been my privilege to teach a good number of people in personal work counseling in conjunction with the Billy Graham Crusades. And during those 5 years, I have given my thought to this. If I were to take the average group of Christians and could teach them to do just two things, but those two things would make them the most effective witnesses for Christ in the least amount of time, what would those two things be? I have come to my own conclusion as to what those two things would be. And the first is to come to have a working knowledge of the Bible through Scripture memory. The second we want to begin today, namely a daily set-aside quiet time for personal fellowship with Jesus Christ. Now, if you have your outlines there, would you turn, please, to Lesson 5, entitled The Real Basis for Witnessing, and then open up your Bible or Testament to Acts 22, verses 14 and 15. Acts 22, verses 14 and 15. Here we have the testimony of the Apostle Paul. And he tells how, on the way to Damascus, he was met by the Lord Jesus. And, of course, as you know, he was blinded and was led by the hand into Damascus. Then God sent Ananias to Saul, as his name was then, who said to him, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will, and see that just one, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Now from that portion of Scripture, why did God choose Paul? Some may say, well, to witness. No, not primarily. Secondarily. Let me read it again. Ananias said to Paul, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, first, that thou shouldst know his will. Second, and see that just one. By the way, who is that just one? Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. Then, consequently, or subsequently, thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what? Of what thou hast seen and heard. So you see, witnessing has to do with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, you must have a personal relationship to him. If you do not know Christ as Savior, how can you make him real to someone else? As the Lord Jesus said in John 3:11, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen. In 1 John 5:13, hereby we do know that we have eternal life. And so, first of all, you must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ through faith, having received him into your own heart and life as your own personal Savior and Lord. Then we find that is just the beginning of the Christian life. It is lived out in fellowship with Christ. Notice again, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, Paul, first to know his will. And where do you find his will? In and through the Bible. And see that just one. Where do you come to see the Lord Jesus Christ? In and through his word, as the Holy Spirit reveals him to you. And just hear the voice of his mouth. And where do you hear his voice? Through his word, the scriptures. And then, having taken time to see him and to hear what he has to say, you can then be a witness to others of what you have seen and heard. As someone has once said, witnessing for Christ is simply taking a good look at the Lord and then going out and telling people what you have seen. Now, therefore, you must take time to look and listen if you are going to be able to share with others what you have seen and heard. How can you testify of that which you have seen and heard if you have not taken time to look and listen? Let me read to you from 1 John, the first chapter. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, we are to share with others that which we have seen and heard. An individual witness always points to Christ. He tells others and shares with them what he has seen of Christ, what he has heard from Christ. Then, as a result, the witness has something to say that is real and that is alive and that is penetrating to the heart. That is real witnessing. Witnessing is more than sharing theological views or doctrinal views with someone else. It is witnessing to a person. You remember Acts 1:8. The Lord Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me," that is, unto the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is real witnessing. But you won't be able to witness that way unless you take time daily to gaze on the Lord Jesus and to hear the voice of his mouth. You see, you cannot behold him by just fleeting glimpses, but you must take time to look and to listen. The psalmist said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." To behold the beauty of the Lord, that is to see how wonderful he is, and to inquire in his temple is to listen to what he has to say. That's Psalm 27:4. Do you take time each day to look and to listen? Let me refer you to Psalm 27, verse 8, where the psalmist said, "When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek." Is that your response? Right now, today, God says to you, "Seek my face." Does your heart respond and say, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek"? If you do, then you will find that you will have a true basis for witnessing to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, you will find that this time set aside for listening and looking, called the quiet time, will not only give you something to share as to what you've seen and heard, but will also give you the boldness to say it. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Acts 4:13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. They were amazed as they saw Peter and John, and several things amazed them. One was their boldness." Now, boldness is not the same as rudeness. Boldness simply means an unembarrassed freedom of speech. Why is it that it seems so difficult to talk about Jesus Christ? You can talk about the world situation. You can talk about sports. And you can talk about other affairs of life with no difficulty whatsoever. But why is it that when the name of Jesus Christ comes up down at work, or with the neighbors, that a flush of embarrassment comes over your face and your tongue seems to get thick? Why isn't there that unembarrassed freedom of speech? I think it's because we don't know the Lord very well. We haven't taken time to be with Him. You see here in this passage in Acts 4, Peter and John had been with Jesus. That's what made the difference. That's what gave them that unembarrassed freedom of speech. They wanted to talk about the Lord. And isn't it true that you like to talk about someone that you really know and love? Well then, if we are going to have that boldness to talk about Christ, we need to get to know Him better, to spend time with Him, to look and to listen, to gaze upon Him, and to hear the voice of His mouth. And not only will you have something to share that will be real and alive, not only will you have the boldness with which to share it, but there will be a Christ-likeness about you, the personal worker. You see here again with Peter and John, that there was something about them that betrayed the fact that they had been with Jesus. And if you take time every day with the Lord Jesus, a quiet time set aside to listen to His Word through the Bible and to talk to Him through prayer, there will be something about your own life. You will become more and more like the Lord Jesus. In fact, that's what the Scripture says. That's how we become more like Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." You become more like Him as you behold Him. Well, how do you behold Him? How do you get to know Him better? How do you get to know anyone better? By spending time with Him. You and I have not met personally, but if we were, how were we to get acquainted? You would tell me about yourself, and I would tell you about myself. In other words, we'd fellowship together, perhaps in your home. And that way, we'd get to know one another. Well, that's the way it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. We fellowship with Him. Let Him talk to us, and we talk to Him. Now, how does He talk to us? Through His Word, the Bible. That's why you should spend a little time every day reading and studying and memorizing some Scripture, that He might speak to your own heart and you might see Christ in the Bible. And then to spend a little time with Him in prayer. Do you set aside 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, maybe more, for a little time of fellowship with Him every day? Get time with Him daily. That's absolutely imperative and basic if you are to be an effective individual witness for Christ. Now then, as our homework for next time, would you take the little booklet called Going On with Christ? That's the second of the two booklets that you would have gotten with this series of outlines. Would you read very carefully the leaflet part and then commit to memory the first passage of Scripture in the packet, namely Psalm 119, 9, and 11. Then next time we'll continue more on this thought of the quiet time.